Adding a forage rotation into your crops may be a win-win for ag producers. Bob Gillen, department head at the K-State Ag Research Center, talks to us about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
I'm glad we can get this chance to talk. You've got a really cool body of work going on down there about crop rotations here in the summer, and I'm just going to kind of let you tell us a little bit about what you've been working on.
Sure. You know, I always try to take this opportunity to just to tell the folks a little bit about some of the different kinds of work that we're doing at the K-State Ag Research Center. And so this morning, I'd like to talk about one that probably doesn't get brought up front and center all that much, but I think is very, very important. And so that's why I'd like to discuss it. And so the program is a wide-ranging studies of annual forages in crop rotations for western Kansas. Now, let me just say a few things about kind of why we're working on that area, James. Hay production or forage production is really important in Kansas. Kansas ranks sixth in the United States in total hay production. Wow. And almost 2 million acres of Kansas farmland is used for forage production every year, which actually would rank that crop as the fifth most acres of all the crops. So you think about corn, wheat, sorghum, grain sorghum, but then right behind that are annual forages. So they are really important to Kansas agriculture. The thing is, though, over the years, forages haven't really gotten as much research attention as the grain crops. Normally, over the years, we focus a lot more on grain production on those four crops I just mentioned, as well as a few others. And there's always been a little bit of work done on annual forages, but not as much focus, really. But we're trying to look at, first of all, giving producers more options, more cropping options. That's just especially with the low grain crop prices right now and the struggles we've had over the last 4 or 5 years are oftentimes dry conditions in western Kansas, really variable precip, and then our large amount of beef production. I mean, that's a huge part of Kansas agriculture is beef production. Dairy is increasing all the time, and those sectors need forages. So those things kind of all wrapped together are why we're working on the annual forages. So we felt like there was a need there, and we're trying to meet that. So there's two main aspects of that. One is, well, how do forages fit into our normal crop rotations? You know, a common crop rotation in western Kansas would be wheat, and then either grain sorghum or corn, and then a fallow year, and then back to wheat. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at, well, how can we fit a forage crop into that rotation, or how can we possibly just make an all forage crop rotation? So that's been a big focus we've been working on for 6 or 7 years. Another real important aspect of our annual forage program is our varietal testing. And let me go back to the first one on the rotations first, and then I'll come back and talk a little bit about the testing. So, you know, the idea here is, and again, annual forages have been used by Kansas producers for a long time, and we're trying to go back and look at some more detailed work on that. And so we have an all forage type rotation where we're trying to mix in triticale, which is a cool season forage. We put that in combination with forage sorghum, which is, of course, is a very common annual forage in Kansas, and then oats. And we're trying to look at those in different combinations. Can we grow, how many crops can we grow in 2 years, in 3 years, without, you know, having a crop failure? And then, so that would be an all forage rotation. Now we're also looking at, I mentioned that common rotation of wheat, summer crop, and then fallow. We're trying to look at how we could squeeze in a forage crop in there somewhere along the line. that would give us increased income, but could also, you know, not hurt our grain production from our wheat or from our summer crops. So those are some of the studies we've been doing. And gosh, you know, we've got a lot of results, and I couldn't even begin to go over all of them this morning just on the radio spot. But when I finish today, I will give the folks some places to go on the web to look at some of our reports and information and see how those might impact them. I will say, though, I think we are making some progress. You know, forages are actually a more resilient crop than grain production, because, you know, in grain, if you don't have enough moisture to get all the way to the very end, you may have no crop at all or a very small yield. Mm-hmm. With forages, we almost always have enough precipitation to grow something, you know, to grow that stalk and those leaves and so forth. And so in that sense, forages are more resilient. It also, again, gives us a good possibility to intensify our rotations, and we're seeing some real good positive impacts on soil health by adding a different, you know, an additional crop or a forage crop into the rotation.
So in that case, again, it would be like once maybe every 3 years you're doing a forage crop on the land rather than a wheat or soybean?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. That would be one aspect of it. That's right. Yeah. So again, it allows us that diversification where producer can feed in a different kind of crop, and that also may give them some different advantages, or at least flexibility on how they do their herbicide and weed management rotations as well. So that's one big part of it, is the rotations. We also have a testing program. We like to, you know, so we're a neutral party. We send out invitations to the commercial seed producers, seed companies, and they send us back entries. So we have an extensive testing program. We have locations at Garden City, at Hayes, and at Scandia in north central Kansas. And last year we tested 77 different hay varieties of forage sorghums.
Wow.
Sorghum sedan, and 87 different silage varieties. So, and those were from 12 different companies. So there, again, there's quite a bit of commercial interest in that. And that gives the producers, you know, again, a neutral party look. All the varieties are grown into the same conditions at the same spot. And, you know, gives them another good way to just kind of look at what those results are as they try to make their selections. We measure the total tonnage, but we also measure the quality of those. And so that's another big part of our program, is the testing.
You know, for a layman, and really kind of asking for myself here, on these forage crops, you know, if you plant those, there's really no like storage either, right? Like you'd need for a wheat or a corn crop. You kind of just bale it up and it's ready to go, right?
Well, certainly. Yeah, you would bale it. You know, it doesn't go to the elevator, obviously. And then you know, store it on your own farm. If you're going to be using it with your own livestock, your own beef cattle, or if you're close enough to a large confined installation like a feedlot or a dairy, which again are growing all the time in western Kansas, and of course then you could truck that to them and they would normally store it, or your neighbors might be able to utilize that crop as well.
Sure. Yeah, it sounds like that to me. This will be a win-win-win for producers. You know, easier to grow, easier to store. It's in demand. I don't know why you wouldn't want to jump on this bandwagon.
Well, certainly, you know, grain crops have been king for a long time because they tend to be a bit of a higher value crop year in and year out. But we've been in quite a slump recently where grain crops not that valuable and not as valuable.
Yeah.
So if you can go a different route, And, you know, again, if you can develop a market, you know, anything with ag products, James, it's all about having a market. And sometimes you can find your own niche market, maybe locally or regionally. It doesn't put you out there in competition with everybody else, so to speak. And so, again, it just gives another avenue. It gives another possibility, and that's kind of what we're about, is trying to give our producers as many different options as they possibly can to meet the variable weather in western Kansas and the variable marketing conditions.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we've talked about that at length. You guys do such good work down there, and it's really without organizations like yours, there's a good chance a lot of this research wouldn't be done.
Well, certain aspects wouldn't. The crop rotation, the universities are the leaders, the different land-grant universities are the leaders in that kind of work, and the commercial companies normally wouldn't do that kind of work because it's not really a product of theirs. It's the information we come up with is available to everybody. And that's kind of the beauty of the land grant system and agricultural research. So in many cases, it would not get done if we weren't doing it, James. That's correct.
Yeah, and I know I can't speak for everybody, but at least I'm appreciative. You guys are keeping the food on the table, so I love that. Bob, we're out of time. Sorry?
I just said, we're doing that in partnership with thousands of producers. We're just part of an overall system that we're trying to help be successful.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And definitely love the ag producers as well. I mean, they're kind of instrumental in that whole process too.
Right.
But we're about out of time here. I wanted to give you that opportunity to share with the audience where to get that information about these studies.
Sure. It's always a little tough on the radio. I can't flash up a sign or a slide with our contact, but I will say if the one way to get there would be to go to the website wkarc.org, and that's the website for all of our Western Kansas Ag Research Centers. So I'll say it again, wkarc.org. And then on that page, if they would select Garden City, then there'll be a whole group of field day reports from the last 10 years. And if they would click on 2019, that would be an avenue into a lot of the results that I've talked about today. And of course, you know how the web is. From that point, you can explore further and get on to a lot of things. So wkarc.org, and then select Garden City, and then Field Day Reports, and I would suggest starting with 2019 because that's our most recent one. That would open up a lot of this information that I've discussed this morning.